Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Now, I realize a lot of times when a man's a speaker, he has to sort of analyze his audience and bring a speech that's according to who his audience is. Some would probably say this is not a Wednesday night message, but I'm not a speaker. I don't give speeches. Amen? I'm a preacher. I preach the gospel, and I preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen? So I think I've found the will of God in this, and I trust that He'll bless it tonight. I do want to say this, what I preach tonight, and I hope you'll understand this, what I preach tonight, I'm trying to obey the Scripture and preach it in love. That's all I know to say. What I'm preaching tonight, we need to hear, and I trust that God will help us. If you found your place in Luke 16, let's stand as I read, beginning in verse number 19. If you're not able to stand, that'll be fine. God understands that, but I like to stand as our pastor does in respect for the reading of God's Word. Very familiar passage of Scripture. The Bible says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for Calvary, where you express your love in such a way that nobody can deny that you love sinners. You shed your precious blood that we might have the free pardon of sin and the blessed hope of eternal life. Now, Lord, I beg tonight for your help. Lord, it's with much fear and trepidation that I address this subject. Lord, without you, I can't do it. Lord, I yield myself to you tonight. Would you speak to hearts that are here, those that are lost and on their way to hell? God, save them tonight before it's eternally too late. Those of us, Lord, who are saved and become indifferent, cold, and insensitive to those that are on their way to hell, speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us a renewed zeal for getting the gospel out. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The purpose of the message tonight, and I'll try to be as brief as God will let me, but the purpose tonight is twofold. It is to motivate the lost of the world to seek the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. And then it's also to motivate the saved to get busy seeking for the lost. What I want to preach on tonight, Lord being my helper, I've titled the message this title, The Reality of a Place Called Hell. I'm afraid in our modern society and today and age, we have heard so many times how that preachers now today don't preach on hell like they used to. Many churches probably never hear a message on hell. And I realize tonight that God is a loving God, and I love to hear and love to preach and love to sing and love to think about the love of God and how God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But that's just part of the message. God's also a God of wrath. And God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to pay our sin debt so that we could be saved by God's grace through His shed blood, so we don't have to be under the wrath of God. That's how much God loved us. But yet at the same time, we cannot dismiss this thing about the wrath of God. I remember as a little boy, and many of you know that I grew up in the home of an atheist who at that time did not believe in God. And we never heard about God in our home. But I remember spending summers with my first cousin in their home, and they were a saved family. They were a Christian family. And every day, I don't know what radio station it was, but what time of day it was, but every day my aunt would listen to Otto B. Green on the radio. And she would stop whatever she was doing when he began to pray, and she would just freeze in motion and pray with him while he was praying. And I remember many times as an unsaved young boy hearing Oliver B. Green say, "Lord, save that soul nearest hell today." And I always wondered who he was talking about. Found out years later he's talking about me, amen, because I was already condemned because I was not saved by the grace of God. And I thank God that he prayed God would save sinners that are close to hell. And tonight I want to just say a few things about hell and get out of the way. First of all, let me tell you some things the cults say about hell. The Christian Scientist says that there's no final judgment that awaits the mortals. Spiritualism says hell does not exist and never will. Jehovah's Witnesses say the doctrine of a burning hell where the wicked are tortured eternally after death cannot be true. The Armstrongism, Garner Ted Armstrong and his crowd, says the concept of hell as a place of punishment and torture of the wicked is part and parcel of the folklore and mythology of the whole world. That's what religious people are saying about hell. What the devil himself is trying to do is trying to make hell a caricature, a cartoon, so that if he can get us to think that Jesus is a character, Jesus is a cartoon, and hell's not real, then we won't believe that heaven's real. We won't believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all the world. If we get watered down opinion of what hell is like, I got news for you tonight. Jesus spoke 13 times more in the Bible about hell than he did heaven. In Matthew 23, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." He said in Matthew 23 and verse 13, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" Mark chapter 9, you know it, where he talks about cutting off your hand. It's better to go into life with maimed than it is to go into hell with two hands, where into the fire that never shall be quenched. He repeats that in verse 45 and in verse 47 in Luke chapter 12. "But I forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Jesus talked about hell. You're Johnny come late tonight if you can tell me there's no such thing as hell. I got news for you. If there's no such place as hell, that means there's no such place as heaven. If I didn't think there was hell, I wouldn't be up here preaching tonight. Amen. And over and over and over, the Bible talks about hell. In Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death." Friend, tonight, hell is a real place. And real people really go to hell. Now let me give you about four or five things I noticed in our text tonight about this thing of hell. Number one, it is an undeniable and unquestionable truth that hell exists. In verse number 19 and 20 of our text, the Bible talks about how that these two men, Lazarus, it talks about them here. Many people will tell you that this is just a parable, that this was just an earthly story that Jesus made up. But may I bring your attention to this fact that the Bible says that there was a certain rich man. It says there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. He didn't give us the name of the rich man. I think I know why. It's very possible that when Jesus spoke these words, the man in this picture that went to hell may have had family right there in that congregation. And I think Jesus had compassion on them and didn't call his name. I don't know that to be absolute truth, but sort of what I think. But he said there was a certain rich man and a certain beggar. Now, when you study the word certain in the Bible, you'll find out that the word certain is actually a personal pronoun. It's never used as a personal pronoun that it does not identify a specific person that has been known by others. We do it all the time in our language. We say, hey, can I tell you something? Let me tell you about this fella I know. That's what he's saying right here. Let me tell you about this fellow that was rich. Let me tell you about this fellow that was poor, whose name was Lazarus. These were real people, and what Jesus was relating to us here was a real story about two real men that walked the face of this earth, and both of them died. One went to hell, and one went to heaven. It's undeniable. If Jesus said there's a place called hell, then bless God, I choose to believe Jesus, don't you? He's never lied, never has lied, never will now. The place called hell is undeniably true. You can do all you want to. You can deny the truth, but it does not change the truth. You can stick your head in the sand like an ostrich, but it doesn't change the circumstances. And hell is a real place tonight. Secondly, I notice not only is it an undeniable place of truth, but it's a place of unrelenting torment. I see in verse number 26, I believe it is, that the Bible says here, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here or hence to you cannot. He said, nobody from heaven can come to where you are. And then he says, and neither can they pass to us that come from thence where you are. You see, there is an endless expanse between heaven and hell. The two will never meet, amen. A great gulf is fixed. Hey, can I say something tonight? There is no indication in this verse of Scripture on hell or anywhere else in the Bible of a place called purgatory. There's no intermediate stage. There's nowhere you can go to and somebody can burn candles to you for 50 or 100 years so that your sin debt can be paid and you can get out and go to heaven. That's a lie straight out of hell. When you die, the Bible says you'll either go to hell or you'll go straight to heaven. Nothing in between. That purgatory mess is something somebody else made up. It's not in the Bible, amen. Listen to me tonight. It is a great gulf fixed. There's an endless span. But I notice also in several verses here tonight, there's an endless torment. In verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Verse number 24, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Look at verse number 25. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in the lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Verse number 28, he said, send somebody to my father's house. He even recognized and confessed that this is a place of torments. Now let me say something right here. Just let me have your attention. I don't know when these two men lived. I don't know how long they had been dead when Jesus gave this story. But I know this. Jesus gave this story about 2,000 years ago about these two real men. And for 2,000 years I know of, this man has been in torments. I'm tormented in this flame. Go tell my family that they don't come to this place of torments. I got news for you, friend. I've heard people joke when I was in the military, when I tried to witness to them, and they said they didn't need God, they didn't need church. When they got to hell, they'd have a beer party with their buddies. I got news for you. There won't be any beer parties in hell. There won't be any water parties in hell. Hell is a place of torments. It's a place of fire. It's a place that's dry. It's a place that's hot. And it's a place from which no man will ever escape. When you go to hell, you're there for all eternity and you're tormented forever and ever and ever. You say, boy, that sounds like a mean, angry God. Oh, no, my friend. God loved you enough to send His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so you wouldn't have to go through torments. He went through torments for you. Boy, I'm getting ahead of myself. It's a place, my friend, tonight of unrelenting torment. It never, ever, ever stops. There's some that teach when we die that the soul goes to sleep and sleeps for eternity. My friend, that's a lie straight from hell. The Bible says the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. He was in a place of torments, and he cried, I'm tormented in this flame. Unrelenting. Day after day after day after day after day. He's tormented and tormented and tormented and tormented, and it never ends. I heard a fellow say one time, boy, this will put it in maybe this will put a little light on it. Heard a fellow say one time he used to go out witnessing, and he'd stop at the gas station and buy gasoline. And back in the days when they had attendants that would pump your gasoline, been some time ago. And he'd take out a cigarette lighter, and he'd tell the attendant, sir, would you like to earn $100 in 1 minute? And, of course, the fellow said, sure, we'd love to. He said, well, will your boss give you a minute? He said, yeah, well, meet me around the corner of the store. And he'd go around the corner, and he'd pull out a cigarette lighter and a $100 bill. And he'd light that lighter. He said, son, if you hold your finger in that fire for 1 minute, I'll give you this $100. Nobody going to do that. And in hell, it's a lake of fire, and it burns and burns and burns and burns. It never stops. Eternal torment. Eternal flames. Eternal fire. Eternal punishment in this place called hell. It's not only a place of torment, it's a place of unquenchable thirst. And he cried, verse 24, and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And seeing Lazarus, wait a minute. Lazarus was at his gate year after year after year. All he wanted was crumbs. And every day he walked by him and ignored him. Now he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. My pastor used to tell me when I was in Germany, he'd say, Brother Tingen, church, I could take that one drop of blood right there, one drop of water right there, if there was such thing as a bank book in hell, and I could break it tonight. I could get every dime he was in hell for one drop of water. This man's been in there for 2,000 years, and crying and begging and screaming for one drop of water. I got to move on. Can I say this? It's a place, oh my, it's a place of an unheard testimony. Will you look at me at verse number 28? Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He cried out, Father Abraham, if I can't have some water, if I can't get some relief, would you please then send him back and tell my family, don't come here. This is a place of unrelenting torment. Whatever you do, don't come here. If we could today, if there was such thing as a manhole cover over hell, and we could pull back the manhole cover and listen. No doubt we'd hear multiplied millions saying, don't come. Don't come here. This is a place of torments. But he didn't even send Lazarus back to preach to his brothers. What did he say? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Hear them. Can I say this tonight? When he's talking about Moses and the prophets, he's talking about the Bible. Moses and the prophets, he's talking about the Bible. He said, go back and tell my family, please don't come to this place. He said, let them read the Bible. And every week, week after week, month after month, year after year, we preach and we preach and we preach and we preach the Bible for people to hear the Bible, and they won't believe it. Look what it says. They have Moses and the prophets. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. But Jesus said, and he said, Abraham said to him, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Never been a more truer statement made in all of history. You know as well as I do that Jesus Christ went to the grave and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And we keep preaching about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people hear it and hear it and hear it, and they turn and walk away. They choose hell over heaven because they don't believe what the Bible says. God help us. I stood at the bus stop in Yongsan-ji, Korea. When I was in the military, I was over there on temporary duty. There was an Army sergeant standing there, and he was a corpsman in the Army Medical Corps. And I began to witness to him. Tell him about Jesus and how he could get saved. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I went up on Mount Michelin, North Carolina. He said, I got on the highest place that I could get. He said, I looked up. He said, God, if you'll give me a sign, I'll believe. And I said, what better sign do you need than that a dead man got up out of the grave? Jesus died and paid the penalty of our sin. And 3 days later, he got up. The Bible says he was rose again for our justification. He proved who he was by getting up out of the grave. He said, if you'll believe on me and confess me and confess your sin, I'll save you and give you eternal life. Oh, listen, my friend, tonight. Hell's a real place. Real people really go there. They really suffer in torments. But Jesus really died on the cross of Calvary, and he really got up on Sunday morning so you and I could be saved by his marvelous grace. Let me give you this and I'll close. I was in a mission meeting in Paris, California, looking for Higher Ground Baptist Church. We finally found it on Sunday morning, way back up in an isolated road. Eucalyptus trees all over the place, and lo and behold, there's a clay hill. And up on that clay hill was a blue and white tent, and a big sign that said Higher Ground Baptist Church. And we went up in there to preach that morning, missions meeting, and the pastor preached it, and he gave this testimony. I never have forgotten it. When he was in the Army, before he became a preacher, he was a nurse in the Army. So he took a part-time job at the Riverside Hospital. His church was small. In fact, he had about 50 or 60 little children he brought in on buses. Had about 15 adults. He loved those children. They loved him to death. He told us that Sunday morning, he said, while I was in the hospital working, he said, there's a lady there who was dying. She was throwing fits. She was so bad and so angry and so fidgety, they had to literally tie her down to the bed, tied her hands and feet to the bed, and strapped her in. He had talked to the family, and the family had said, we've tried for years to get Mama to get saved, but she just won't listen to us. Now she's here in the hospital dying on the way to eternity and throwing such fits of pain, arching her back and struggling against the straps. And all of a sudden, the alert went off on her machine. And Pastor Harney, the nurse, went right in there. He said, I almost lost my job because what I saw, he said, it mesmerized me. I should have called for help. He said, but I froze in my tracks. And there she was, struggling, back arched high, feet kicking. And her mouth was wide open, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs, and not a sound was coming out. He said, but I read her lips. And she was saying, help me. Help! I'm on fire! And she died. He went out and told the family, said, I'm sorry to tell you, your mother's passed. She left this world never having received the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and fell into the flames of hell. It's a real place tonight. If you've not been saved by God's grace, and you don't get saved, you spend eternity in that same place. But can I tell you something else? On October the 10th, 1999, I was in a hospital room, my wife and I, watching my mother dying of cancer. She turned over in the bed and turned her face to the wall. I remember the day she got saved, preacher. I came in that day. I didn't know anything about salvation. My mama was on the couch crying. I said, what's wrong, mama? I thought something was wrong. She said, she had tears of joy. She said, a preacher came by a while ago and I got saved. In that hospital room that night, she turned her face to the wall. And I heard her just as clear as you hear me right now. She said, do you want me to go? And in just a minute, she crossed over to the other side. No wrangling, no fighting, no struggle, no pain. Why? Because she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of her soul. And when she woke up in Abraham's bosom. Thank God she didn't die and in hell lift up her eyes being in torments. My friend, the difference between the two is what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Moses and the prophets. You don't need a sign. Nobody needs to write anything in the sky. You just need to believe and trust God's word and God's Son, and He'll forgive your sin and save you from eternity in a place called hell. It's real tonight. If you're not saved tonight, I beg you with every fiber of my being, why don't you come tonight, this old-fashioned altar, and just bow before God, confess your sin, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll save you. That's what He died for. He died to save you so you won't have to go to hell. Christian, I preach on hell to motivate lost folk to get saved. I preach on hell to motivate saved people to seek the lost. We seem to sometimes, we get complacent. We forget about the reality of hell. We forget to stop and realize that our friends and our neighbors and our workers that are not saved, they're on their way to hell. And God chose no other means for them to be saved than that men would tell them about Jesus and about heaven and about hell. We have a responsibility to tell the world how to escape from going to hell. Father, I thank you tonight for being so good to us. I thank you, Lord, for helping me. God, I thank you for saving me and my family. Lord, no doubt tonight in a congregation of this size, there's no doubt there's some here that's never been saved by God's grace. Lord, I don't know any man's heart. Lord, only you do. But God, I pray right now, Lord, would you take this message? And Lord, let it sink into people's hearts. Lord God, I pray you'd help people tonight to turn from sin and turn from the Lord Jesus Christ so they don't have to go to hell. God, would you speak to the hearts of your children tonight? And, oh, God, we get a burden in our heart one more time for somebody that's lost. And Father, I pray tonight that you'd have your will and your way in this time of invitation. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder tonight, without anybody looking around, I wonder how many tonight could say, in all honesty, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know right now that I've been saved and I'm on my way to heaven. If you can say that, is that your testimony? Would you just slip your hand up? I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you for lifting your hands. I couldn't see everybody in the building. It's obvious there's some of you that didn't raise your hand. Can I say to you tonight, nobody loves you as much as the Lord Jesus Christ has and does love you. There's nothing more than God wants tonight than to see you get saved by His good grace. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The Bible tells us that hell was created for the devil and his angels. The reason we go to hell is because we reject His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is God speaking to your heart tonight? Why don't you come tonight? In just a moment, we're going to have a song of invitation. Our pastor's down here on the front row. I'll be here. Others here, men and women that can help you. If you'd like to know more about how you can be saved, why don't you come tonight during the first verse of this invitation, and is God speaking to your heart, and you come and let us take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can be saved and don't have to go to hell. Would you stand all over the building, stand with the team. You come and sing. God's spoken to your heart tonight. Won't you just step out? God loves you. He wants to save you. Just come right tonight and see the preacher and ask the preacher what I need to do, preacher. Preacher will tell you what to do. He'll show you what to do. Some other people can tell you what to do. That's right. Come on. Brother Tim, you sing. Hallelujah. Let God speak to your heart tonight. Are you saved tonight? My friend, tonight, don't leave this building not being saved. Some of you crossed the building a while ago. You couldn't lift your hand and say, I know that I'm saved. Don't leave tonight. Hell's a real place. Real people really go there. And if you don't get saved before you die, you'll spend eternity in a place of, come on tonight, just step out from where you are. Just come on, take the preacher out of heaven. Let the preacher show you how you can get saved tonight. Oh, my friend, come tonight, will you? Don't be embarrassed. You don't have to be afraid. Everybody gets saved goes through exactly what you're going through right now. Heart of conviction, the Spirit of God speaking in your heart. You know what you need. You're worried about what people will say. I don't care what people say. Don't let what people say or what people think send you to hell. You come tonight and get saved by God's grace. Won't you come tonight? Slip on that. Hey, child of God, what about you? Where have you been able to sing about hell? Has it really been real to you like it ought to be? If it would, you'd be helping others to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of y'all, some of me, even me, we might need to be in this altar now. Just confess our own fault tonight about not being faithful in this thing of telling others about Jesus. Would you come tonight? Come tonight. Let God do a work in your heart.